So now let's talk about sponsors, okay? So a sponsor is somebody that's experienced in the type of property that you're interested in, okay? Size, class maybe, financially strong, they borrowed money in the past. You know, they can be somebody you know, maybe somebody you met at a RIA, maybe somebody you reach out to that owns property near the one you're interested in. And basically, you're going to give them a piece of the deal, and sometimes a big piece of the deal. Sometimes they'll put money in, sometimes they won't. And like I said, don't be afraid to give them a lot, because this is not the time to be greedy. This is the time to get your to plant your X on the map and get a property in your resume, in your portfolio, so that the next property or the one after that, you don't need this guy, okay? And you may still want to bring him in just to have that experience and that mentorship, but you won't have to certainly give him as big a chunk, possibly or likely. And you may not need him. You may not want to give up, carve it up. But you know, your goal is to get in some deals, okay? Your goal is to get on the map. Okay, so that's it on sponsors. And you know, you're gonna meet them out there networking, out there going to meetup groups, going to RIA groups, out there assimilating yourself and spending a lot of time with your peers in this industry. And it's important for you to do that, and this is why, okay? Now, let's talk about seller financing again. Now, I know this is redundant. I know we went through it before, and I'm doing it again by design because it's so powerful and it can be so lucrative and advantageous for you to ramp quickly, okay? So, often, and this is why, because you can often get much lower down payments. That's a big deal, right? Okay, you can structure the deals creatively. You know, I've heard of deals where, let me give you an example. Scott Shiel, he gave this example of about a substitution of collateral. What he did is he bought a property, an apartment building. I think it was his first apartment building. Let me try to remember the story, but it's a great story. And I have not personally done this, but I know other people that have as well. But Scott tells it very well. He bought this apartment building. I'm going to use rough numbers. I think it was $800,000. He borrowed money on it, you know, maybe 80% of that, maybe 90% of that. But he made sure that with that seller, he not only bonded with them, but he ran the payment to that seller every month. So that seller knew he was, you know, an integrity-filled guy and really gave that seller comfort. And then what he did was he decided he was going to refinance the property, pull some money out because he'd really increased the value based on his management techniques that I'm going to teach you examples of that as well, and how you can ramp the value. But bottom line is he ramped the value, and then if memory serves me, he approached that seller and said, I'm going to refinance and pay you off. So I don't want to be paid off. So what he did was he structured the deal where the seller released the property, and I think he had to give the seller some guarantees and give the seller maybe some collateral on some other property. But he was able to get that property completely released and refinance it so that he had a lot of cash to work with, okay? If that makes any sense. He didn't have to pay that debt off. He continued to pay it because the property could support it and the new debt. Very creative strategy that you can't do with residential, but you can do with commercial, called substitution of collateral, okay? And you can't do that with a bank. You can do that with seller financing. That's why I wanted to give you that example. You know, it allows you to purchase properties that wouldn't be approved for traditional mortgages as well. Let's say you find a property that's in really rough shape. The seller doesn't have any debt on it, has owned it a long time. You just approach the seller, hey, no one's ever going to be able to borrow money on this property, Mr. Seller, because of the condition that it's in. So that's another way to approach the whole seller financing conversation, just like I helped you approach it in a couple of modules ago, where you talk about the tax benefits and how the huge difference in cash flow to an elderly seller, for example, that's interested in cash flow. It's a very important conversation that you really need to remember, memorize at least the framework of that conversation, okay? And so, you know, if the property's not stabilized, needs heavy repairs, it's a perfect candidate for seller financing. It won't show up on a credit report, which can be a plus or a minus depending on your situation. But it does make getting future loans and mortgages easier, for sure. So definite advantage to seller financing. How do you get sellers to call you? Direct mail, which we talked about already, directly to mom and pops. And ideally, I would recommend that you mail to people that have owned the properties at least 20 plus years, because then you know they typically aren't going to have any debt on them. And high equity, tax benefits have gone dry, even if they might have some debt at 20 years, because some of them will have 30-year debt, but it'll be very low. And they still want cash flow. Remember, we talked about that, and we showed you how to give them an example of what they would cash flow if they only got 60% of the net proceeds because Uncle Sam took the rest, and then they put that money in the bank, and you could show them at 1 or 2 or 3% interest what they can expect to get for cash flow. And then you say, listen, instead of that, you're going to have 95% of the money with me. I'll give you 5% down so you know that I'm serious. I'm not going to walk away. And you're only going to pay taxes on what you collect each year, and you're going to make four times the cash flow. It's a win-win, guys, and you can feel good about presenting it. They don't want to take a big tax hit. And like I said, only keep 60% of the net proceeds. You reinvest that, it's a lower monthly payment. And they save thousands on broker commissions because you're buying it from them directly. Now, caveat, you buy it from them directly, you still have an attorney right to contract, okay? Do not try to do it yourself. It's not a house. These are commercial properties, lots of nuances. I don't write my own contracts, and I've been in the business 40 years, okay? Have an attorney write the contract. And again, you can negotiate down payment, the rates, your amortization. You can be incredibly creative here. You could tell the seller, listen, until I get the property stabilized, I'm not going to make any payments for 8 months. Then I start making a payment. You have the ability to structure the deal any way you want. You know, negotiate the deal any way you want. Structure the amortization. Maybe you go 40 years. Maybe you go 10. Whatever makes sense. Things that'll, you can structure it so it affects the cash flow and the security, basically the collateral. There are ways to, like I just described with the substitution of debt, that you can, offer a cross-collateralization to keep that property less encumbered, the property that you're buying, and put debt on another property, for example, similar to the example I told you a minute ago. So there's just so much you can do to be creative.